So we'd like to invite you to take out your outline. Now, last week's study in the Holy Spirit, you'll have in your bulletin in your mailbox. And if you don't have a mailbox here, we have some bulletins left over from last week because we didn't have church. And so you'll have that outline in the bulletin there. And thank you, Bush. That's the color. That's the blue color right there. And it's in the lobby, okay? So we want to be sure that you follow through with us as we go through this series on the Holy Spirit. Father God, we now pray as we have sung, open our hearts, illumine our hearts by your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, Lord, and empower us and embolden us to live a life that is pleasing to you, that is representing Christ in every way, Father, through the power of your Holy Spirit and the presence of the Spirit within us, that the fullness of Christ would be developed in our lives, individually as well as as a church family. We ask this, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. How does the Holy Spirit change us? Well, are you changing?
Yeah,
the one constant in life is change, right? How have you changed over the past 20 years?
Got older.
Yeah, getting older. Okay, what are some of the other things? Maybe some of you have gotten into retirement. That's a big change for some. Maybe you've changed geographically and moved into another home somewhere. Maybe you've changed jobs. We all realize that life is full of change. And in the Christian life, too, change is extremely important. You see, a Christ in his gospel is not just fire insurance from the fires of hell and to give us a ticket, if you will, by his grace into heaven. It's much more than that, isn't it? So that as you take out your outline before you with regard to that, how does the Holy Spirit change us? He does. And take a look, if you will. One of the key verses you have right there in your outline before us is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We are all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Change, transformation. In fact, God tells us there in Romans 2 through the Apostle Paul that the goal that God has for you and I in Christ Jesus is that we would be conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ. We want to see what that looks like as we progress through the message this morning. But the word change or transform, you have that word right there before you. It comes from, if you, the word that can be translated to be transformed, to be transfigured. In fact, it's the same word that Matthew uses when he talks about the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he was transformed, transfigured. He was changed before the three disciples who were there. And they saw the radiant glory of the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. Now he veiled that bright shining glory throughout his humanity during his time here on earth. But at that one time, there on the Mount of Transfiguration, he was transformed, he was transfigured. And he unveiled, if you will, and they saw his glory. Well, there's a bit of glory, too, that's going on in your life and my life. Since that moment that you accepted Jesus Christ, and that's really what Paul is saying here, we're being transformed into be more and more Christ-like. And it's one degree after another. It's not all at once. I wish it was. I wish it was for my own personal sake. I hate the sin, don't you? You know what I mean? But we do sin. And he again reminds us that progress that God is working, that sanctification, that transformation is progressive. But how does that happen? How does the Holy Spirit change us? How does he transform us? Well, you might be saying, well, all right, Bill, I know he does that. That should be enough. Well, not really. Because we need to know how he does it. We know why he does it. That's the goal that the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit have for every one of us who put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a child of God. But why is it so important that you and I understand how he does this? Well, let me give you a couple reasons. You have that in your outline before you. We do not. If we don't know the transformation, that transformation into Christ's likeness is God's goal for us, we may misunderstand his work in our lives and have a distorted view of Christianity. And that's going on right now today. People who do not understand that transformation work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, they're being, if you will, being very misinformed, or they're misunderstanding what the Christian life is all about. They say, well, I accepted Jesus. I meet everybody, not everybody, I meet a lot of people. I say, hey, have you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Or another question, have you given your life to Christ? Or have you received him as your Lord and Savior? Basically what I'm saying, you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know that. And some people say, yeah. Well, what's he doing in your life? I don't know. I know what he did for me on the cross in the empty tomb. Well, wait a second. There's much more than that. The story doesn't just stop there at the cross and the empty tomb. It continues on in your life, in my life, and the life of the church. And that continuation of the story of God's grace and the gospel in your life is called transformation. And so if we don't understand how we're being transformed, how we're being conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ, we'll have a misunderstanding, we'll be misinformed about what the Christian life is, and we'll settle for less. That's why so many Christians are living a mediocre life. I'm convinced of that. In fact, Bill Bright said that's one of the reasons why Christians are just not having any adventure at all in their Christian life. They remember in the past when they felt so great, when they accepted Jesus Christ and they knew their sins were forgiven, and now they have, if you will, the gift of eternal life. And then after a while, it's just downhill after that. It's sort of like their physical life. Well, that's not the way God has intended for us. We're to be transformed into likeness. So, another reason, if we don't understand that spiritual growth is an interaction between ourselves and the Holy Spirit, we may fall into two errors. See, if we don't understand that our transformation, our change into the Christ-likeness is an interaction between ourselves and the Holy Spirit, we'll fall, generally speaking, into two errors. One error would be, we may put all the responsibility on ourselves. And we will get frustrated. I have met Christians who have known the Lord for many, many years, and they're frustrated about their faith. They're frustrated about being a Christian. One reason they're frustrated is because they've been trying to live the Christian life on their own. They've been trying to have a Christian marriage on their own. They've been trying to raise a Christian family on their own. They've been trying to grow a local assembly of believers on their own. They get frustrated. Are you in that frustration mode? And that's why it's important for us to know how the Holy Spirit changes us. Another error that we may put too much responsibility on God. Well, if God saved me, he can change me. And I'm just going to sit here and wait for him to change me. And that's another error. I believe in the sovereignty of God. And don't you? It's taught in the Word of God. God is sovereign. But in his divine sovereignty, he has also enabled us, empowered us through the Holy Spirit to do what we must do as his children. And we'll get into that. What are we to do? Another, if we don't understand all the elements of God's spiritual transformation process, and it's a process, we may miss some of those things. And we're going to get into some of those elements in the process. Because you may come and you say, you know, just going to church on Sunday's enough. A lot of people feel that way. Just going to church on Sunday's enough. After all, I'm born again, I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven, I'm out of hell, and I'm going to church on Sunday, that's enough. Wait a second, there's so much more in the adventure, the new life, and it is an adventure. That's what God wants it to be, because it is new. I'm tired of the old, aren't you? Yeah, I hope you are. And so we go here, if we continue, we'll either stunt our growth, if we don't understand the process and the elements that we participate in, and we'll be frustrated because we don't understand why our growth isn't progressing more fully, more quickly. And then the last reason why we need to understand how the Holy Spirit works in our lives, we will not be able to properly encourage and instruct new believers on their spiritual growth and the transformation of Christ's likeness. We may lead them to Christ, and praise God if you had that opportunity to bring them to the foot of the cross where they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we leave them. Wait a second, we shouldn't leave them. The Great Commission is, yes, indeed, bring them, evangelize them, bring them to Christ. But then also, in their spiritual life and growth, we're to teach them, we're to obey what Christ has taught us, the lessons, and we're also to win others. It's a discipleship. If we don't know how the Holy Spirit is working in our life to transform us, individually and as a church, then we're going to really miss out on that whole process of discipleship. It's not just making decisions. Go and make what? Disciples. There's a world of difference between the two. And just look at the Christian community today. Okay, so those are reasons why we need to live. Well, let's go through, if you will, a series of questions. What is God's goal in this new life? This new life that we now have in Jesus Christ. Because it is a new life. Paul says, therefore, if any man or woman or boy or girl be in Christ Jesus, they are a new creation, a new birth, if you will, as Christ says there in John chapter 3. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Aren't you glad? I sure am. I don't want my old life. And I'm glad that God agrees with me. He says, Bill, I don't want you to have that old life. And he agrees with you too. That's why he's given you a new life in Jesus Christ, okay? So question one, what is God's goal in this new life we now have in Christ Jesus? Take a look at your verse before you. That's a key passage. We read it already before. Do you recognize it? Now the Lord is a spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We are all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. And this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. What is the goal? What is the goal that God has for your new life, for my new life in Jesus Christ? Not just that our sins are forgiven. Not just that we're part of the body of Christ. Not just that we're adopted into the family of God. All that is true. Praise God. And not just the fact that you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But the goal of all that is to transform us into the image of Jesus Christ. Please don't forget that. If you're open to the Holy Spirit, He will not let you forget that. Let's go on, if you will. The goal of our spiritual change is transformation to Christ's likeness. But what does Christ's likeness look like? That's a good question. I have people ask me that. Well, Bill, you're talking about being conformed to the image of Christ's likeness. What does it mean? What does it look like to be Christ-like? 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. You could put Christ in there. He is that love. And you can also, because if you're in Christ, you can put your name there too. Let's take a look, if you will. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. And let me just read it for you. 1 Corinthians, what does Christ's likeness look like in a believer, in a Christian marriage, in a Christian home? You can go right on down the line, in a Christian community, in a Christian church. What does Christ's likeness look like? Well, it looks like this. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's Christ's likeness. That is what God is doing in your life, in my life, since the moment you accepted Jesus Christ. Now, I must confess before you, I'm not fully there yet. I'm not. But I must tell you, God's not going to leave me where I am. And He's not going to leave you where you are. If you open your heart to His Word and the work of His Spirit, you will be conformed to the image of Christ. And these attributes of Christ, because He is love. Remember it says there in 1 John chapter 4, God is love. Amen. For God so loved you, He gave His Son. The expression of God's love is Jesus Christ. The expression of the, if you will, and the representation of the Christ-like that God is conforming us to is this passage here, as well as the fruit of the Spirit. Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Because sometimes people say, well, what does it mean to be Christ-like? Does that mean I have to have a beard? No. Does that mean I have to walk around in a robe? No. But it does mean a character change. It does mean a character change, like 1 Corinthians 13 that we read. But also, take a look in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is what Christ's likeness looks like. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. That's Christ-likeness. Oh, we could go on to a number of passages that really describe for us and displays for us in God's Word what Christ looks like. You go to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you can see the character of Christ, the compassion of Christ, how Christ reached out to the leper and touched lepers where nobody would touch. But he touched that leper and he healed him. Why? Because he had such a loving compassion and mercy for that one. We see the attributes, the characteristics of Christ that God is communicating into your life, is transforming your life into those characteristics. Aren't you glad? I'm really tired of the old Bill Gray. Are you tired of the old you? All right. Let's go on. How do I know I'm being changed? That's a good question. If change is the goal and Christ-likeness is the objective, how do I know I'm changing? Well, let's very quickly. How's my relationship with God? Am I more in love with Him now than I was before? Do I know Him better now than I did before? Or is it just status quo? Is it just stagnation? You say stagnation isn't change. It's D-E-A-D. Right? Yeah. And so, how is my relationship with God as my Heavenly Father? Do I love Him? Do I seek Him? Do I delight myself? Do I enjoy Him? That's one of the ways we can see that we are growing in Christ-likeness. You see, the Son loved the Father. The Son obeyed the Father. The Son prayed to the Father. You see, His relationship was with the Father. And that Christ-likeness in your life and my life, that's one of the dimensions, if you will, that must also increase. Yes, from glory to glory, from one degree to another. It doesn't happen just like that. Oh, how I wish it did. Just ask my wife. Okay? I put a lot on her, I'll tell you. So how's my relationship? How's your relationship with God? Has it changed or is it stagnated? Is it D-E-A-D? Well, let's go on. How's my relationship with others? That will also reflect the life of Christ within us, but also reflect the change and the transformation that is going on in your life and my life. And again, brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm not there fully yet, but I know I'm progressing. I love the Lord more now than I did before. I'm talking to Him more now than I did before. How's your relationship with others? Do you get easily ticked off? Do you? I used to. And sometimes I still have that edge about it. Do you know what I mean? You know what I mean? I said, Lord, I need a change. I need a change. But one thing I know, is that my Heavenly Father will not leave me there. And He won't leave you there either. Because God says in His Word, He who hath begun a good work in you will bring it unto completion. Aren't you glad? I sure am. Let's go on. Not only my relationship with others, we have a number of passages there that speak about that relationship, how it's defined by Christ Himself. How is my reliance on God and my responsibilities as a Christian? How are they being translated in my life? Okay? It's not just being a Christian. And get this. It's not just being a Christian, but it's becoming Christ-like. That is the summation of the gospel. That is the power of God unto salvation. So those are three areas that we can examine ourselves. What is the heart of this transformation change? The next question. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You see that verse? Take a look at that verse. Take a look at it real close, okay? He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Sometimes people make, if you will, a change. Instead of working out, they substitute, instead of out, they have the word for. And a lot of cults, and a lot of, if you will, disguised Christianity or other gospels will have it that way, working for your salvation. That is not what God says here. He says, work out what God is working in. If God is at work in you, yes, he is. And he's working those things through your life and through my life. So, but we have a part in it. Take a look, if you will, again at that verse. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. You see what Paul is saying? We have God's work and our work with God. We don't do it all, and God doesn't do it all. See, I can't do what God will do in my life. And God will not do what I must do in my life. Did you get that? The heart of transformation. Take a look at the answer. At the heart of our spiritual change is an interaction between the Holy Spirit's prompting and our positive response to it. That's why that was a good question Paul asked those who were professing to be disciples there in Ephesus. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Well, Paul came to realize that they weren't disciples of Christ. They were disciples of John the Baptist. They only had half the story. And Paul had the joy of sharing them the rest of the story. Praise God, like you have had the rest of the story. And they understood that Christ died for their sins, that he rose again. After preaching the gospel to them, they accepted Christ. They were baptized. And then they came to understand the Spirit of God in them. We are, if you go here and in your outline, we are to be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not, well, okay, I filled up my tank on Saturday, and I'm going to go right on through the week until next Saturday, and the tank gets lower and lower. Have you been there? You know what I mean? Okay. No. It's not that we get more of the Holy Spirit like filling up the gas tank. It's that the Holy Spirit gets more of you and I in every area of our life. Okay? And it's not, if you will, a one-time only when you and I were converted and came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We are continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. He becomes in control more and more of our lives. Is he in control of your marriage? Is he in control of your sex life? Is he in control of what you read, what you see, what you do? Is he in control of every area of your life? You see, that's the control that he wants. Why? So the fullness of the reality of Jesus Christ will shine through your life, shine through your marriage, shine through your family. We must not grieve the Spirit. What we mean there is in our relationship with others, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. If we're not building one another up, we'll grieve the Holy Spirit. If we're just so satisfied in our own heart that I got my way, and I don't care what that other person thinks or what that other person feels, I'm grieving the Holy Spirit. If I'm lying, I'm grieving the Holy Spirit. You see, that short circuits that interaction between ourselves and the Spirit of God within us. The next thing, we must keep in step with the Spirit. We must obey him. We must not quench the Spirit. It says that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. How do you quench the Spirit? By not desiring or delight the work of the Spirit in your own life or in the life of someone else. That leads to one thing, stagnation and the death of the witness for Christ in your life. Stagnation and the death of the witness of Christ in your life. Let's go on. We must be empowered and enabled by the Spirit to live the Christian life. The Lord promised his disciples, he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come by, you should be witnesses. You know, somehow or other, in the course of time, in preaching and teaching throughout the history of the church, we've got this idea that Acts 1:8 is talking about witnessing and speaking out for Christ. Yes, it's that also, but being a witness. He said, you shall what? He doesn't say, you shall witness for me, but you shall what? Be. It's more about being than doing. More about being than doing. If you and I get locked into defining the Christian life by what I do or don't do, and we miss the fact that it's about our being in Christ and becoming more like Christ, we stagnate. We stagnate. Let's go on, if you will. What is the process we must go through? We must go through for us to become Christ-like, is number three. Notice what Paul says there in Romans. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. There's that word again, metamorphosis. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, and by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That's a key verse for this. The answer to the question is this verse. The translation of that, if you will, that verse is this. This transformation requires a combination of the work of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, our personal commitment, other believers. I need you. We need each other if we're to grow into Christ-likeness. This, somehow or other, this idea that, okay, I've accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I can just live by myself. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to be involved in fellowship. I don't have to be involved in ministry. Two things are a possibility there. Two things. A person of that persuasion might not be born again. Okay? The other thing is, they're just living a carnal life and living that life for themselves. And God will do two things. He will either chastise that individual if he's truly a child of God, discipline, or take that child home. Or take that child home. Okay? Transformation requires a combination of the work of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, a personal commitment, other believers, time and personal trials. Those are the things that God uses through the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and my life, in your marriage and my marriage, in your family and my family, in Christ's church right here, South Mountain Bible Church. He uses those things to bring about that growth and that transformation in our lives. Some questions about that, if you will. Take a look at the list. We have about six things there to ask ourselves. Am I aware of and open to the work of the Holy Spirit in my life? Sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'm not. And I know that's wrong. And I'm praying that I will be more aware of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I'm praying that I'll be more open to His work in my life. And in my marriage. And in my family. And in my church family. That's a valid, that's a good question to ask ourselves. Number one, if you will, am I aware of and open to the work of the Holy Spirit in my life? Second one, am I in God's Word daily and applying its commands and principles to my life? Sometimes I'm not, but I know I should be. And I pray the Holy Spirit will enable me and empower me to be that consistent. Are you that consistent too? You see, the Holy Spirit will help us. He is the helper. He's the one that comes alongside us. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the one who will guide us and teach us. And I need Him so much, I really do. What about you? What about your walk? Your relationship with the Spirit? Am I loving and building up other believers? Sometimes I'm not. But I know I should be. As I'm being conformed more and more like Jesus Christ. What about you? Am I redeeming the time God gives me every day? I need to use it for Him. I know that He says in His Word, He knows the days of my life even before that my life began. And He knows the day that He's going to take me into His presence. I don't know that day. And in one sense, I'm very glad about that. So I can live each day in the light of that event. Because I know Bill Gray. If God said, Bill, February 28th, 2016, I'm taking you home. I get very lazy. And I look at the calendar, I got a lot of time. It's not even February now. Oh, will be tomorrow. I got a lot of time. I got 28 days before I meet him. You know what I mean? I may meet him today. You may meet him today or tomorrow. Am I redeeming the time that he gives me? Are you redeeming the time that he gives you to glorify him? The last one, why don't we change more quickly? Oh, I wish we did, and we're completely right now. Lord, I want what I want, and I want it right now. Have you ever been that way? Yeah. Well, like newborn babes, look at all those verses that you have right there. They all talk about growth, don't they? Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that you may grow up to salvation. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, in James, it talks about that process of growing. Again, in 1 John, the process. Why don't we change instantaneously? I wish we did. I wish I did. We don't change instantaneously because God has planned that our transformation takes time. Out in Indonesia, in teaching there at the Bible school, I try to make it clear, you know, because everybody says, well, why can't we just come 1 week or 1 month and let's just go on into ministry? Wait a second. God is still working in your life, and you need to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And that's what the school was for and is for. And I remember Elmer Warkentine, who was really the founder of the Berea Bible School there in the interior of Kalimantan. And he said, I would always talk to the church leaders and also the young men who were coming to the school. And he says, there are two kinds of wood. And the Dayaks knew their wood, I'll tell you. They really knew everything that was in the jungle. Everything. Everything you could eat, everything you couldn't eat, everything you could use, everything you shouldn't use, okay? And he said, look, he says, do you want to be a softwood or a hardwood? Now, they had ironwood out there, and that was completely impervious to everything. That would last for 100 years or more in the ground. Termites couldn't attack it or anything else. He said, you want to be? And he would name a tree that they knew was a soft wood. You could actually bend it and break it. Where do you want to be? Ironwood. Well, they all said, we want to be ironwood, because they knew the characteristics of ironwood. And he said, that's exactly what God is doing in your life. He doesn't want you so you can bend and break easy. He wants to make you so strong in him, that he can build upon your life. Your marriage, your family. We do not change instantaneously because God has planned that our transformation takes place over time and because of the complications of sin and its effect in our lives. But these things are true. Take a look what you have there. We will change and we will be changed. Guaranteed. A number of verses declare that. We will not change as God intends us to change if we're isolated from one another. Now, we will change, but we will not change as God intends us to change if we're isolated from one another. We will experience our greatest change through trials and what? Suffering. We are more honest about the sin in our lives when we long for this change. When you and I really are honest and open with the Spirit of God, we realize more and more things are in life that need to be taken out, needs to be removed. We become more and more aware that what Paul says, put off the old man and put on the new man. You see, the more we're aware of the Holy Spirit in our life and the change that he brings into our lives, we're more aware of the things that we need to let go and then hold on to. Is that clear? Because I find sometimes in my life, and maybe you find it too, that you're holding on to things you need to hold on to, but somewhere along the line you're still holding on to some of the other things. Is that true in your life too? But that's why the Holy Spirit's there. That's why the Holy Spirit speaks to us. That's why he uses the Word of God and say, you can let it go. It's not going to help you. It's going to hinder you. Hold on to those things that are eternal. Hold lightly and release those things that are temporary. We have a little booklet out there. Have you made the wondrous discovery of the Spirit-filled life? That booklet is out there on the table. But if you haven't made that commitment to Jesus Christ, the very first thing you need to do is come to know the peace and the reconciliation that God will give you with himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. So if you're still wrestling with the fact that you're born again, you're not born again, you have new life in Christ, you don't have new life in Christ, if you're somewhere even in between, or maybe you know that you're not born again, but you want to be born again, pick one of these up. They have helped me over the years. Here it is. Okay? Pick one up. Or if you know somebody that you want to encourage toward Christ, pick one up for them too. But because we only, and I bought every one that they had at Lifeway store. So if you would just pick up one for yourself or for your family, okay? There in the lobby. Pray with me. Father God, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you, Father, that you, in your wonderful love and grace for us, you abide within us. You indwell us. In the person of your Holy Spirit, bring about that transformation in our lives. Father, we thank you that the life in Christ Jesus is one of an adventure, one of abundant grace, one of being filled with your Holy Spirit. Father, thank you. It is our heart's desire to become more and more Christ-like. And Lord, we thank you that we don't do it on our own, but we do that together with you, as we work out what you're working in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.